Hi, I'm Roy Walkenhart.
And I'm Judy Brooks, and welcome back to Healing Quest, your healthy lifestyle show. Our focus here is energy medicine, integrative health, and the latest options available to all of us in what we hope will help you live longer, healthier, and happier lives.
And on the topic of living longer, we have details now on a big study about big waistlines and why they're a big health risk.
Findings published in the New England Journal of Medicine report that having a waist measuring more than 35 inches for women and 40 inches for men nearly doubles the risk of dying prematurely. That's more than 35 inches for women and 40 inches for men.
Well, the research involved more than 350,000 European men and women. The key problem is belly fat that accumulates around abdominal organs. In addition, a study in Britain called the Million Women Study found a direct link between an increase in waist size and coronary heart disease over a 20-year period.
Well, a 36-year study done by Kaiser Permanente right here in Northern California found that those with the abdominal obesity in middle age were almost three times more likely to develop dementia later in life than those who didn't have the excessive abdominal fat.
And a study in Holland linked body and abdominal fat to an increased risk of breast cancer. So, if we have your attention now about paying attention to your waistline, we have a few suggestions about maybe how to shrink it.
Well, obviously, it's important to exercise regularly. Something as simple as walking, that's a good thing. And it's really important to eat better, and we have some suggestions about that.
Well, first of all, we want to make sure you don't fall for the misconception that cutting calories means cutting meals. Now, a study at Ohio State University has found that skipping meals not only doesn't work, it can lead to abdominal weight gain, and that would be that belly fat we're trying to get rid of.
That's right. Well, researchers say a number of small meals throughout the day, and we've heard this over the years from many different doctors and different plans, that, you know, these small meals throughout the day is the best plan, because skipping meals just sets your body up for larger fluctuations in insulin and glucose, and that can lead to fat gain instead of fat loss, just the thing you're trying to avoid, you know?
And skipping meals or drastically cutting calories has one other problem. It can make unhealthy food look more attractive.
The junk food, or as Sally Fallon calls, the pornographic food.
Exactly. So to lose those pounds, don't skip meals. And that's especially true for breakfast. Research from the American College of Cardiology says skipping breakfast is associated with atherosclerosis, which is hardening of the arteries due to a buildup of plaque.
Well, the research involved over 4,000 male and female volunteers, and the results showed that those who skipped breakfast had a much higher incidence of hardening of the arteries than the other participants.
They also had bigger waists and body mass index, along with higher blood pressure and glucose levels. The study's author says having a healthy breakfast every morning is one habit that can definitely reduce the risk of heart disease and keep your waistline in check. If you're just joining us, I'm Roy Walkenhorst.
And I'm Judy Brooks, and you're listening to Healing Quest, and we're talking about the critical importance of keeping your waistline at a healthy circumference.
Big word.
In other words, you want a smaller waistline.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to diet, we have three waist-slimming ingredients to recommend. The first one is cinnamon. Researchers at the University of Michigan have found that the essential oil in cinnamon turns up the heat on fat cells. So the result is improved metabolism that induces fat cells to burn more energy and protect against obesity.
We like to put cinnamon in our coffee. That's one way to get cinnamon into your diet. And you know, if you have oatmeal or something, or put a little cinnamon on it. And it's not sweet, really, so you might want to add a little honey or something to it, too. The process is called thermogenesis, and scientists say cinnamon is one good way to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Another good ingredient in slimming your waistline is black tea. Scientists at UCLA have found that black tea promotes weight loss by changing bacteria in the gut. What happens is that bacteria associated with obesity decreases, while bacteria associated with lean body mass increases. Now, the results are similar to the weight loss benefits of green tea, but this is the first time they've actually been confirmed for black tea.
Researchers say both teas also boost good microorganisms, and what they do is they contribute to our well-being and deliver antioxidants, and those antioxidants help keep our cells healthy. Mm-hmm. And third, we'd like to recommend cauliflower as part of your healthy waist plan. Now, cauliflower is often referred to as one of the healthiest foods on earth because it not only helps control weight, it also wards off cancer, heart disease, and brain disease. These are all things we'd like to ward off.
Also, it has 1/10 the carbs of white or brown rice, and it's packed with vitamins K, K, C, and B6. It's a great alternative to white rice and gluten-free grains, and it can be mashed, buttered, or fried. Now, we always buy organic cauliflower to avoid the pesticides and maximize the nutrition, and cauliflower actually has become one of my favorite vegetables.
I think that's because we've discovered, you know, you can take a cauliflower and you cut it into almost, you know, an inch, maybe just a little bit less than an inch.
Slices,
and they're like cauliflower steaks. And then you can put on them whatever you want and bake them. That's another way to get curcumin,
yes,
and turmeric.
And some sea salt.
And sea salt.
Olive oil.
Yeah. And you can mix it up. You can do different things, you know, whatever the taste you might be in the mood for. But they're really delicious. And it gives cauliflower a whole different taste.
It does. And by the way, I think the price is pretty right.
Definitely. Well, it's less than a steak.
Exactly. Next, we have a three-step plan to pass along that's designed to shrink belly fat. Step one is work less, because research shows that working more than 48 hours a week often results in drinking an excess amount of alcohol, and that increases belly fat.
Well, step two is no caffeine after 6, which is also about avoiding the production of cortisol so you can get the deep, restful sleep needed so you can be fit.
And step three, unplug. It's based on a study showing that people who are constantly connected to their phone, computer, or TV are way more stressed than those who unplug every day, and more stress means more belly fat.
That belly fat again. Mm-hmm. Well, finally, as we just mentioned, make sure to get enough sleep, at least 7 hours a night. A 16-year study of 68,000 women found that those who slept 5 hours or less a night were a third more likely to gain those 32 pounds. Now, I want to know how they figured 32 pounds.
I know. Well, that's why it took them 16 years to do this thing.
But remember those important waistline numbers we started with, no more than 35 inches for women and 40 inches for men. Getting and keeping those waistline numbers down means getting a good night's sleep, and that means dealing with stress. So we have one final recommendation for you on that topic.
It involves an herb called ashwagandha, which for centuries has been the flagship herb of Ayurveda, the traditional system of medicine in India. Now, ashwagandha is known as an adaptogenic herb, which means that it helps our body adapt to stressful conditions and helps our body get to the 7 to 8 hours of sleep it needs every night.
So to understand more about ashwagandha, we consulted author, educator, and medicine hunter Chris Killam. Chris has conducted medicinal plant research in over 45 countries, written 14 books, and appeared on radio and television programs in the U.S. and all over the world, and he knows a lot about ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha certainly, I mean, I think it has earned its traditional name, the king of herbs, for stress and anxiety, and that includes almost everybody any of us know.
Right.
You know, it is rather radical in terms of how much better it makes you feel, because it takes cortisol and other stress hormones in the blood way down very nicely into a normal, healthy level, and we see, you know, improved cardiorespiratory endurance, you know, greater strength and output for athletes and for people who are just plain active, you know, improved sexual function and sexual experience in men and women, very, very good benefits for memory and cognition, short-term and long-term memory, thought formation, you know, basically mental sharpness, which is an old traditional use, but reaffirmed by modern science. And overall anti-aging properties, you know, in terms of the oxidative stress that's on the organs of the body. So, yeah, I think you could make this your desert island plant for sure.
Well, it's an adaptogen. So why don't you explain to our listeners, what is an adaptogen?
An adaptogen is one of a small group of herbs that helps you to adapt to all forms of physical and mental stress. It doesn't make you impervious to stress, but it helps. And in almost every case, whether you're talking about ashwagandha or rhodiola or eleuthero, some of these other adaptogens, they all have the capacity to bring stress hormones in the blood down. And, you know, when this happens, you get this very wonderful sense of relief. So I think for stress, this is kind of miraculous, actually.
We should put it in the water.
Well, yeah, I should say, you know, I have a good and working relationship with the people at KSM 66. And when they were doing one of their studies, I think it was on cognition, I said, ask a question about happiness. And they thought that was a good idea. And as it turned out, respondents at the end of the study, those who had taken the ashwagandha extract and not the placebo, were happier. They actually scored themselves happier on those standard psychological inventories. So, you know, some of that's due to the almost 28% reduction in cortisol and other stress hormones. That's huge.
That is. How quickly does it work? Does it work, I mean, right away?
This is the bio-individuality conversation. Some people are going to notice a real difference in 3 days. Some people are going to take 2 weeks.
Okay.
You'll notice a difference at some point. The speed of that, it has to do with individual biology. I always suggest to people that they expect to invest a couple of weeks to really notice a difference, but anything can happen.
What should our listeners look for or look out for when they're thinking about buying ashwagandha?
Always look for certified organic, USDA certified organic on the label. That tells you that you've got a clean product, at least from the agriculture standpoint. I'm very much a big fan of KSM 66 ashwagandha extract. It's in about 600 products because they've done their homework with the clinical science and their extraction's very good. And also, you know, look for real doses. I mean, the average doses of extract that show beneficial in most of the human studies is 600 milligrams. So don't go for the products that, you know, have 10 or 25 because that's not going to do anything.
Okay. All right. Well, we're getting the sign here. We've got to stop. But we come back?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's an honor. Always.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very sweet. And I'm sure we're going to get some questions. So we're going to want to have you back to answer those.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Judy. Bless you both.
You too. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yep.
We've been speaking with medicine hunter Chris Killam about ashwagandha, the flagship herb of Ayurveda in the traditional system of medicine in India.
Ashwagandha is getting lots of 21st century research attention these days because of its ability to help us adapt to stress and to keep our body in balance. So, you know, we can, among other things, get a good night's sleep, which will help all of us, as we learned a few minutes ago, get those waistline numbers under control. Up next in our show, my Wild Woman Wisdom segment with quantum energy healer Nikki Nagaraj, and we're going to be talking about what does it mean to really be a wild woman. And don't forget, podcasts of this and other Healing Quest shows are available at our website, healingquest.tv.
And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Healing Quest. I'm Roy Walkenhorst.
And I'm Judy Brooks, and you're listening to Healing Quest on iHeartRadio.